Oh shit, I almost killed you. These words have echoed silently through the minds of countless nurses during their careers. While nursing school teaches the technical aspects of patient care, how to start IVs, administer medications, and document treatments, it fails to prepare new nurses for the raw emotional and practical realities of the profession. Sonia Schwartzbach's book pulls back the curtain on these unspoken truths with unflinching honesty and dark humor. The book has become something of an underground sensation among nursing students and new graduates, passed along like a secret handbook for survival. Despite its irreverent title, the book has been praised by nursing educators for addressing the gap between classroom theory and clinical reality. Even celebrities like Sophia Bush, whose mother works in healthcare, have recommended it as essential reading for understanding what healthcare providers truly experience behind closed doors. I've found myself trapped on a stalled NJ Transit train, soul-crushed by my meaningless corporate job. During that pivotal commute, I scribbled my thoughts, searching for purpose beyond shallow marketing disasters. What could I do that would serve humanity, feed my soul, and pay my bills? Then it hit me like a freight train. I needed to become a nurse. I wrote down three hopes: to give, to learn, and to grow. My 18-year-old self would have scoffed at becoming a bedpan dumper instead of something prestigious like a doctor or lawyer. I had no idea what nurses actually did until I witnessed them caring for my mother, realizing they're the lubricant that keeps healthcare running smoothly. Despite graduating with a perfect GPA and stellar references in 2012, I likely wouldn't have been hired without already working as a patient care technician at the hospital. Everyone talks about the nursing shortage coming by 2020, yet newly minted nurses rarely get hired into acute care without connections or experience. It's the classic chicken or egg dilemma. You need experience to get hired, but need to get hired to gain experience. If you expect to graduate and immediately land your dream job in the ICU or ER, think again. Consider nursing assistant roles, internships, externships, volunteering as an EMT, or nurse residency programs to gain clinical expertise and connections before graduation. That rush of excitement, wrapped in nerves, smothered in horror, hits when HR calls to schedule your interview. After surviving nursing school and boards, now you must sell yourself as America's next top nurse. Be yourself. Your authentic self is good enough. Don't shortchange your non-traditional experiences. My bartending skills proved as valuable as my corporate career. Leave the bullshit at the door, though. Enhancing strengths differs from fabricating experiences. HR managers can sniff out inauthenticity and lying about clinical skills in dangerous patients. After surviving nursing school, boards, and interviews, now you face real patients, medications, blood, traumas, cardiac arrests, and superbugs. Welcome to nursing, not a sprint, but a marathon. Just when you conquer one challenge, another appears. You're suffering from expert to novice syndrome, leaving school feeling confident about blood pressures and breath sounds, only to discover the chasm between classroom learning and reality. You'll have moments sitting on toilet seats questioning your career choice, ugly crying in your car after late shifts, dealing with spinning heads and shaking hands, cleaning bodily fluids, facing angry patients, missing murmurs, feeling something isn't right without knowing why, being yelled at by veteran nurses, fumbling through doctor calls, and freezing during emergencies. Doctors, though not intentionally, can sometimes endanger patients through hastiness, sloppiness, or inexperience. The nursing profession fundamentally protects patients from these risks, serving as a critical safety net in modern healthcare. New medical residents in July typically fall into two categories: either paralyzed by anxiety, second-guessing every decision and delaying crucial care, or dictating orders with dangerous overconfidence that can put patients at risk. This isn't physician bashing. I deeply respect their passion and work ethic, especially the cardiothoracic surgeons and intensivists who save lives daily. But at teaching hospitals, July 1st brings a dangerous transition as medical students become residents, a phenomenon so well known it's called the July effect. When a seasoned nurse suggests a medication for a patient's heart rate, it would be foolish to ignore the nuance of their experience. nurses spend hours at the bedside tracking subtle changes and patterns that brief physician visits might miss. As a new nurse, you must learn to drop hints that become more than suggestions, perhaps mentioning similar cases or citing specific data points that support your recommendation. Delivery matters tremendously. No one likes condescension, especially overworked residents pulling 24-hour shifts. With time, you'll finesse your suggestions to protect patients without sounding like a jerk, developing a repertoire of approaches from gentle guidance to firm advocacy. Sometimes, you'll need to stiff-arm your way into the right treatment plan, even if it means threatening to call the attending in extreme circumstances, a nuclear option that experienced nurses use judiciously but without hesitation when patient safety is at stake. One of my most intense moments as a baby ICU nurse was witnessing my preceptor, a badass, hardball, patient-saving force of nature, guide a terrified surgical resident through a bedside chest opening when a post-cardiac surgery patient's blood pressure plummeted dangerously. The patient was bleeding into his chest cavity, and while the surgeon was en route, every second mattered. The resident froze in fear, but my preceptor brought the chest cart, laid out materials in precise order, and directed him step by step through the procedure, maintaining calm authority while simultaneously preparing blood products and managing the patient's deteriorating vital signs. She knew exactly what instruments would be needed, the proper sequence of the procedure, and how to coach someone through their panic, knowledge born from years of experience in similar emergencies. When the surgeon arrived to fix the bleed, he found a controlled situation rather than chaos. That day made it crystal clear. There's no such thing as just a nurse. Nurses are silent benefactors who keep patients happy, comfortable, and most importantly, alive, often preventing disasters before they happen through their vigilance, experience, and courage to speak up. The head-to-toe assessment separates nursing students from licensed novice nurses, though the uncertainty remains. You'll wonder how to thoroughly assess multiple patients, keep their conditions straight, document everything, and still leave on time. Create a general assessment that covers multiple systems at once, then focus on areas relevant to the patient's condition: heart and lungs for heart failure, neurological assessment for stroke patients. In the ICU, assess every inch systematically using a consistent pattern: neuro, pupils, motor, pain, respiratory, cardiac, gastrointestinal, genitourinary, pulses, skin, access, endocrine, and infectious disease. Follow this pattern religiously for every patient. Even if Super Nurse gives you a perfect handoff, always conduct your own assessment. Look, touch, and flush that IV line yourself. Beyond patient assessment, evaluate the care environment too. Clear chairs blocking emergency equipment, move tray tables from fire exits, and ensure there's space for a code cart if needed. Assess your patient's safety meticulously and always clean up after yourself. Straighten the room as if your nursing instructor were watching. As a novice nurse, you probably didn't have enough time to document everything. But remember, if you didn't document it, you didn't do it. This adage becomes terrifyingly real when you're being deposed about a patient from years ago. Whatever's charted is the only admissible evidence in court. Document only what you see, what you do, who you call, and situations that arise. Omitting details leaves you without proof of tasks completed, while over-documenting can be equally harmful. Follow the miniskirt rule: short enough to get to the point, long enough to cover the important stuff while keeping you out of trouble. One final tip: purchase your own malpractice insurance immediately. Even if your institution provides coverage, protect yourself and your practice. For about $100, you'll gain invaluable peace of mind when shit inevitably happens. In today's digital age, the internet is a crucial nursing resource at every level. If you survived nursing school in the last decade, you're already familiar with tech-based learning tools beyond traditional textbooks. When preparing for my nursing boards, a smartphone question bank app gave me access to thousands of NCLEX questions for just $15. The convenience was unbeatable. I could study during work breaks or while exercising. No more lugging around textbooks. Entering the cardiothoracic ICU, I faced an overwhelming amount of information. Thank the nursing gods for my iPhone. Specialized nursing apps covering everything from body systems to hemodynamics to pharmacology helped me bridge the gap between morning rounds confusion, what the hell are they talking about, and clinical understanding. Free nursing websites became my ICU for Dummies resources. I spent hours on YouTube watching cardiac surgeries, reading research on Google Scholar, and learning practical skills from nurse-driven websites. I'll admit it, I'm something of a selfie queen with a strong social media presence. But in this digital age where your online presence defines you, think before you link. One bonehead post or picture can jeopardize your nursing career and professional license. My cardinal rule for social media: if I couldn't delete this, would it impact me? Many healthcare institutions now enforce strict no social media policies because someone inevitably did something incredibly stupid. Use common sense to decide what's appropriate to post. You're entitled to opinions as long as they don't violate HIPAA or constitute libel against your employer. Selfies are fine unless they contain patient information or are taken during emergencies. Brag about meeting celebrities, but not if they were your patients. Check into that cool new bar, but not if you called in sick to work. When that patient arrives with a crazy rash, gnarly injury, or weird diagnosis, resist the urge to pull out your iPhone. You might be Snapchatting your way straight to unemployment. Every nurse remembers their first patient death. Mine was Joseph, an elderly man who chose to end his fight after battling multiple chronic issues. He passed peacefully surrounded by family, shaping how I'd respond to future deaths. Most careers don't involve witnessing death regularly, but as a nurse, you'll inevitably lose someone, whether in a dramatic code blue or a planned transition with morphine. Nothing truly prepares you for this moment. You'll replay every intervention, every medication, wondering if you could have done more. My first ICU loss was traumatic: bleeding, coding, and ultimately losing the patient in surgery. I blamed myself until my charge nurse stopped me. This is not your fault. Sometimes these things happen. We can't save every patient every time. Nursing school never teaches you how to bag a body, comfort devastated families, or start a morphine drip that will eventually stop someone's breathing. The most important lesson I've learned is that it never gets easier. You simply develop coping mechanisms that help you process the really bad days and still return to work the next. For nurses, laughter isn't the best medicine, Ativan is, but it's a close second. Humor becomes the crutch that helps beaten-down nurses limp through bad shifts and the icing on good ones. That dark, sometimes inappropriate gallows humor is actually a survival mechanism. When you're short-staffed, patients are climbing out of beds, and everything that can go wrong does, laughter becomes your most powerful weapon. It's not that nurses are insensitive to suffering. Rather, when death and destruction run rampant, sometimes a well-timed joke is the only saving grace. My preceptor taught me one incredibly powerful truth about critical care nursing. Sometimes you need to cry because it's the only right thing you've done all day. Whether facing ethical dilemmas or witnessing traumatic deaths, nurses are important and strong, but also scared, confused, and human. Our patients would never believe the same professionals battling disease moments earlier shed tears on their behalf in private showers or at the nurse's station. As a new nurse, I was bewildered by my own emotions. How could I leave everything at the door after connecting with patients and families for hours, days, or months? Whether you've been nursing for days or decades, this profession can consume you if you let it. You might leave work furious about inadequate resources, wounded by conflicts with colleagues, elated by an epic save, or devastated by a mistake or tragic loss. Find your release valve. Drinks with coworkers at 8 a.m., journaling, baking, running, gardening, or even a Netflix marathon in pajamas. You must decompress because nursing follows you like a shadow. Everyone seeks that special someone, a soulmate to grow old with. I'm blessed to have found my husband who balances my crazy, keeping me grounded while always ready to catch me if I fall. Though he doesn't understand medical jargon, he tries to follow my war stories, and we both work to align our priorities. Dating a nurse requires fortitude. Handling us during our professional initiation is no easy feat. On the surface, nurses seem like ideal partners, smart, compassionate caregivers. But in relationships, we can be as complicated as that 3 a.m. emergency department admission. We've all watched Grey's Anatomy during nursing school thinking, I can't wait to see the crazy hospital drama. But reality check, if you mix business with pleasure, don't complain when things get messy. While I love Meredith Grey and the McDreamy versus McSteamy debates, television shenanigans don't mirror real life. Surgeons never start IV lines or escort patients to CT scans. And those romantic hospital fantasies? That gorgeous doctor is probably happily married. And between 7 patients, 3 admissions, Q2-hour dilated, and demanding families, you'll barely find time to pee, let alone hook up in a call room. After a typically hectic shift as a 6-month nurse, I exclaimed, "Thank goodness this day is over." A neurology resident responded enviously that her ED nurse friend works 3 days weekly while making double her salary. I countered with a laugh, "I literally got peed on today, like a person peed on me." So it's not always as glamorous as it seems. Nurses don't choose this path for money or cushy schedules. 13-hour shifts are hardly easy, and we certainly aren't medical school dropouts. If we wanted to become physicians, many of us could have. Our clinical knowledge grows daily, and while physicians diagnose and treat, nurses often detect subtle condition changes first. Given enough time in nursing, you'll notice nurse leaders and upper management are different breeds. Upper management isn't your enemy, but she's not exactly your old chun either, like that college roommate who married rich and shows up wearing $2,000 shoes, having forgotten her beer-chugging days. What separates managers from true leaders is the connection leaders maintain with nursing that resonates in their decisions. A nurse leader may not work bedside anymore, but remains tuned to your daily challenges. When entering nursing, you knew you'd be sharing holidays with coworkers instead of family. This unavoidable reality, barbecues and staff lounges during summer, or feeling festive with your team in winter, means saying goodbye to loved ones for the sake of strangers. In many institutions, holidays are paired off and staffed by seniority, meaning it might take a decade before earning the privilege of having your favorite holidays off. The flip side? You're an essential employee, so fundamental to society that your role must continue 24/7. My perspective on holiday work transformed in the ICU. Suddenly, I understood we aren't unlucky to work during precious occasions. We're the fortunate ones. We are the holiday warriors, the 'tis the season team. We're the elves pushing patients onto the good list, surviving another night. We're the Turkey Day Brigade managing balloon pumps instead of watching Macy's parade. We're brown gravy warm and pumping spice sweet, helping patients and families celebrate within their circumstances. Unless you're selling mattresses, a hospital bed is a horrible place to be. Now imagine being educated about everything that could go wrong with a human body, working surrounded by sick people, then having yourself or a loved one need medical care. One implied function of nursing is becoming everyone's go-to source for free medical advice. Despite needing to avoid practicing outside our scope, family and friends will seek your guidance anyway. When loved ones fall ill, you'll feel compelled to manage every aspect of their care. As either a new nurse or experienced one, you're likely the most medically literate resource available. Once you've mastered the basics, finding the linen room, ditching your security blanket of notes, surviving a code blue without hiding, your future opens wide. But what will you make of it? The profession now pushes new graduates toward immediate advancement. My professors urged me toward graduate school before my BSN was even in hand. While some feel ready for increased autonomy, I was utterly confused after graduation. Cardiac surgery excited me during nursing school, but ICU experience opened countless doors. CRNA, nurse practitioner, staying bedside, writing books in coffee shops. My indecision wasn't from fickleness, but from listening to others instead of myself. People saw leadership qualities in me, but I wasn't ready to leave direct patient care. I considered anesthesia for its financial benefits and work-life balance, but questioned if I'd feel confined without patient interaction. Would I spend 3 years and quit my job only to wake up confined by a paycheck but disengaged? I've chosen to remain where I'm challenged and engaged while maintaining creative outlets. I love my job, but also want to create broader change in nursing. Advanced practice degrees aren't the end-all. You can happily remain bedside your entire career. Before rushing to escape the bedside, consider the logistics. Graduate school is expensive, working while studying extends your timeline, and advanced degrees don't always mean higher salaries. I can only offer so much guidance to convince you that nursing is as challenging as it is rewarding, but I can't make you love your career. As someone who escaped corporate life, I know you won't be the first or last to change paths. If you wake up miserable more often than not, feel crippling anxiety at work, or deeply regret becoming a nurse, bedside care might not be for you. Even worse than distress is feeling completely disconnected. This dissociation can lead to dangerous patient care mistakes. Florence Nightingale revolutionized healthcare by fighting for sanitation before germs were even discovered. She left her comfortable life to serve in the Crimean War and sent her work to India to decrease infection rates in the British Army. And us? We tweet. As a new nurse, you'll often feel like you've got the short end of the stick. You might think you're being punished with difficult assignments or branded a failure when really you just lack experience. Everyone goes through moments of entitled frustration. My advice? Allow yourself a brief wallow in self-pity, then put on your big girl or guy panties and get over it. I once paid $5 to have my palm read by a woman with a bad perm and a lazy eye at the Jersey Shore. Her reading was confusingly accurate. She predicted I'd become a supermodel, and later that day, a modeling agent approached me. Years later, I traded that fantasy for nursing school, the anti-glam. The future of nursing is impossible to predict with certainty. Every year brings new baby nurses, every decade new technology, and in a single lifetime, our profession morphs into something entirely different. The nursing profession carries a secret that outsiders don't understand. The true depth and difficulty of nursing work goes far beyond what most imagine. While people often say they could never do it or suggest nurses become doctors, they miss that nurses deliberately choose this path for the unique connections they make. The secret is that nurses save more lives than acknowledged, catch countless errors, and develop intuition that prevents deterioration. I won't lie to you, nursing never gets easier. Even as a veteran, you'll still have shifts that kick your ass and patients who make you want to gouge your eyeballs with a pencil. But eventually, the hard days grow fewer and the great moments snowball. You become tougher and wiser while hopefully maintaining your compassion. We are human with all our flaws. We make mistakes, pick fights, and become emotional because we must. Every day, we battle with our identities, the establishment, disease, life, and death. We give 99% to others while clinging to that final 1% of ourselves. We're not infallible. We drink too much, smoke too much, eat candy bars for dinner. We're in a business where emergencies are truly emergencies. While we apologize for our shortcomings, we make no apologies about being nurses. This calling seeps into our marrow and sinks into our soul.